What's up, Fanatics? Time for another edition of the Seniors here at CycloneFanatic.com. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by my friend Rob Gray. What up, Rob? What's good?
It's good to see you. It was, as expected, an emotional senior night for players and fans alike at Hilton Coliseum. I said after the game, beautiful night, ugly game. I stand by that. Lowest points total of the year, 58-50. Let Oklahoma State make a big run to get back within six, but, you know, you'll take it.
Yeah, definitely. Before we dive too deep into that, we've got to mention our friends over at Performance Concrete Polishing. They make your ugly and boring concrete surfaces attractive. Any residential, commercial, or manufacturing floor can look spectacular, even an exterior surface. We offer many alternative state-of-the-art services to accomplish this goal. The floors are colorful, they're shiny, durable, super easy to clean. If you can dream it, they can create it. Go ahead and visit their showroom over at 11220 Aurora Avenue in Urbandale. Give them a call at 515-202-6706 or look them up online at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com. Yeah, do it.
Absolutely. Got to do it.
I know you just built a new house fairly recently, Rob.
A little over a year old.
So if you need to get you want to make your garage floor look really nice, get in there and check it out.
And we've talked about it. You know, it's a matter of finding the time, and that's where we'll go.
That's absolutely a summer project for you.
Yeah, then somebody else gets to do it. It makes it even better.
Yeah, exactly. But like you mentioned last night, Iowa State with a really nice win. I mean, it really wasn't very nice, actually. It was actually a pretty boring game.
Yeah. Oklahoma State dictated. I mean, they mucked it up, slowed it down. And they hit some shots in the first half that allowed them to stay in it. And Iowa State started off really cold and couldn't get into rhythm. Had the nice 11-0 run to start the second half. You build it up to, I think it was about 18 points, 16, 18 points. Then they creep back into it in sort of a weird way. I think the Cyclones one stretch was like 9 minutes with 2 points or something crazy. I might be exaggerating slightly, but it's a win. And it gets you to 10 in conference with the big one at Lawrence ahead on Saturday, which we'll be at, which will be a lot of fun. The seniors
right
going
again.
At that again. Absolutely.
What time are we going to leave?
5 a.m.
Wow.
No, not 5 a.m. We'll just leave it.
I was going to say, I'm going to puke.
We'll leave at a decent hour. The Prius will be your steed. You'll get to... You'll get to ride shotgun. You probably have to recline the seat a little bit to accommodate your headroom.
Yeah,
necessary headroom. But the legroom's not bad in that machine.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure it'll be okay. I'm just worried about that waking up. It's Friday night before that, Rob. You remember that, right?
I remember what Friday nights used to be like, and I would never get up early on a Saturday. You know,
I get to go to the Fog, though.
Yeah, exactly. That ought to fire you up, whether you've slept for 3 hours or seven or eight.
One, even.
Zero.
Oh,
what the heck?
I'll get up half an hour before it's time to go.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But getting back to last night, obviously the start point we kind of have to start at is with George Niang in his final game in Hilton Coliseum. And he went 0 for 6 from 3. Is that right? But it was pretty efficient.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Efficient from two. It was a very George Niang game. But I was just waiting for one of those threes to go down. Because that would have been the kind of, I think, the moment that would have blown the top off the place.
Sure. Yeah, I 17 points, 10 rebounds, fifth double-double of his career. And,
right.
You know, the rebounding effort.
Why did I go straight to 0 for 6 from three?
You're so negative, Jared.
I know, man.
I can't believe, you're a jaded 21-year-old. And here I am, a sunny side up 46-year-old.
Usually
what's
I'm
my
the,
problem. 47. I can't even remember how old I am. I'm going to be 47.
Wow, your voice
not
really
yet.
Changed like you,
March
you all
18th.
Of a sudden like realized like, wow, I'm going to be
time's running out.
Be 47.
Time is running out on the Volvo for George and on his career at Hilton, and now I've got to speak faster and louder going down the stretch. But very good performance out of him. All the senior. I mean, he and Abdul scored a bunch of points in the first half, kind of kept him afloat while they were pretty stagnant. I don't think Monte had an assist at halftime. Had six Rome. We could touch on him too, you know, what he said after the game and what he's – it's sort of consistent with what he said before, which is, you know, he'll know when the time is right. And obviously he's got to go out on a really, really high note, not only team-wise but personal-wise, to have any type of confidence based on trusted advice. I don't see any reason to go out if you're not an absolute ironclad first rounder.
Right.
But, well, you know, we'll see what happens with him. Great career either way, whether it extends or doesn't. But all those guys, you know, Nader, 19 points, that dunk that I love that somebody made it into that great Vatican painting. And I've actually seen
Sistine Chapel?
Yeah, I've seen the real one.
But you didn't remember the name to just say it right there.
I was just talking about the Vatican, and I was trying to remember.
That's not in the Vatican, is it?
Yes.
The Sistine Chapel?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay. Sorry, Rob.
There's no flash photography allowed, though.
Oh.
So that made the Photoshop even better. But, one of those dunks that you'll remember forever. And you'll always remember Mitchell Solomon's name, too, because he tried to just get out of that restricted area. He actually, watching it slow down, it seemed like he almost pulled it off.
Right.
But to the ref's credit, they didn't, you know, and given the way Nader always seems to be called for a charge, fitting on senior night that doesn't happen. And he gets that moment and that poster and everything else.
If I would have been sitting on press row, I probably would have fallen out of my chair. I'll be completely honest. If I'd been sitting in a chair that wasn't fastened to the ground.
It was... And then seeing the picture, too, to see how high up he was.
Right.
So extended, so almost like 45, not 45, even better than 45 degrees to the hoop. And elbow almost at rim. I mean, whew, big athletic, he said, Steve Frome told him. And, well, he knew it. He showed it.
Where does it rank in Iowa State dunks for you?
Gosh, ones that I've seen? The Fred one with AC Earl is up there. I can't think of a particular one for Royce, but there'd have to be one for him in there. It's a top five. I don't think there's any question, just based on how it unfolded, too.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's just a very underrated dunker, like, as a whole. Like, I don't think we talked about that much.
Yeah, you're right. And they've run some nice lobs to him
right, as
well. I mean, underrated is a good way to put it, because he's gotten up and dropped it down with the best of them this year.
Right, and we talk about, you talk about Deontay and you talk about Jameel. Abdul's probably dunked just as – I mean, probably not Jameel, but he's dunked just as much as anybody else has.
Yeah, there's a hang time issue with him too. I mean, when Burton goes up, you're just waiting for something to break.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of seems like slow motion, but with Nader, it seems like just that steady rise. There's almost a graceful quality to it.
Do you think Abdul Nader's ever been called graceful before?
I would hope so.
Maybe as a youngster. You just set a new precedence.
Well, that's what I live for.
I don't know where to go after that. I just really wanted to talk about that dunk, dude. That was awesome.
That was amazing in a Sports Center, not only top 10, but number one.
Was it? I guess I didn't watch it.
According to reports that I saw, I was not able to get it either, because I was still finishing some stuff up and then driving. But could have caught the rerun, obviously, one of the 12.
Are you a big Sports Center watcher?
I used to be a huge one, but now it's just kind of like whenever, because you're around enough. Reporting, even if it's just availability, you're still thinking about sports. All that happened in the last game is going through your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're fast-forwarding, trying to remember the last matchup with the next team that you're going to be writing about and that kind of stuff. So it's not as, as appointment viewing when I was a bit younger and just a fan.
Definitely. Do you see that Iowa State dropped 3 spots in KenPom this morning on adjusted offense from that one game?
Well, 58 points. It was not. I mean, the efficiency was not there.
It just seemed like they were kind of sleepwalking.
Yeah, I mean they had
or just the, like slogging through mud.
Yeah, yeah, and I think Oklahoma State had something to do with that. I mean, they're outmanned without Evans, right. And obviously Forte's been gone the whole time. But what went through my head is how close Travis Ford was to probably being on good footing.
Mm-hmm.
If Forte can play, and Evans, how he emerged. I mean, I know he was a highly touted prospect to begin with.
Right.
But those guys healthy this year. They're in the vicinity of Iowa State, probably in the Big 12 standings, because they're that good.
Forte could
hit so many shots.
Even as good as Texas Tech,
yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Have you been looking at the Big 12 tournament possibilities?
I've sort of, in my mind, thought of a six seed as the foregone conclusion.
Yeah, that's what I would say, too.
So I haven't really looked at it, because even if it broke, I mean, you look at the top seven teams in the league, excuse me, there are teams that I think Iowa State, like I think Iowa State matches up better with Kansas,
mm-hmm.
than, say, Baylor or West Virginia, who we've seen what happened against those teams this year.
Right.
For whatever reason. I'm not even sure what exactly it is, because West Virginia's press usually, with Monte Morris at the helm, bother Iowa State, but it did bother them quite a bit. In fact, the only time the Cyclones looked really good against the Mountaineers is when they didn't press,
mm-hmm.
and built that 15-point lead early in the game at Hilton. So, and Baylor, the length, you know, we've talked about that ad nauseum, that has not been a great matchup. Yes, he beat him in the Big 12 championship last year, and this season, different story so far anyway. We'll see what happens in Kansas City if they meet. But, you know, I'm not. Maybe we say it every year, but I don't think it really matters who you play, because you're going to play, you know, somebody great or very good pretty much from the beginning, unless you're in that, unless you're in the Wednesday matchups.
It's crazy that Oklahoma could even be the sixth seed.
Yeah.
If certain situations played out.
Mm-hmm. May on mathematically very possible.
Right.
I still can't believe they're not going to find a way to get.
Well, Iowa State could even be the seventh seed still
mathematically.
Yeah. It with a big win for the Red Raiders on the road in West Virginia, but you know, it's not like they haven't done anything.
Well, where
like
would,
that
before. Where would the tie break go though?
I can tell you right now,
because Iowa State with a victory over Kansas, did Texas Tech beat Kansas?
Texas Tech defeated Iowa State and lost to Baylor based on round robin record. Iowa State lost to Baylor and Texas Tech based on round robin record. That's what this the tournament generator thing.
Okay. So I would think at some point it would roll back to who did best against the conference champion.
Right.
But
well, it says Baylor. There's three teams at 10
Baylor's
and 8.
The indicator. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, in that event.
Yeah.
That they're there. I don't know. It's a crapshoot. I mean, even last year was a crapshoot. Even these two straight championships have been, you know, hanging by a thread almost every single game,
yeah.
for the Cyclones. It's such a great event, so highly charged, and the atmosphere is great. You know, Hilton truly has become Hilton South again, with, I guess, for the first time really since it was Kemper when it was really rolling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the way the Iowa State fans travel for good reason. Since the Renaissance, so to speak, to kind of tie in with our Sistine Chapel talk earlier. Just a great event. And then, you know, anything can happen, but the Cyclones want to improve their seed line greatly. I mean, God forbid, you know, Lawrence, a winning at Lawrence on Perry Ellis' senior night. Can you imagine what that
would be? Outstanding.
I mean, just sitting there, I mean, you talk about falling out of our chairs.
I know. Well, I'd just be in shock, honestly. I think we'd look at each other and it's like, what?
It's so hard because
everybody
many things
be filing
wrong.
Out in silence. You know they would.
Oh, they would be. I mean, they'd be utterly stunned. And yes, they're outright champions and all that, but then that would drive the point home that we all know. That even if Kansas, which is the presumptive number one overall seed in the NCAA mm-hmm. tournament now, anything can happen.
Right.
I mean, we know it, but that would be like that cherry on top of anything can happen in this season's NCAA tournament. And that's always true. But increasingly, there's it's not just talk. I mean, we see things play out that boggle the mind a little bit.
Adam Gray predicted 25 points from George Niang on Saturday. He said they're going to win. That's what he told me.
Adam Gray said they're going to win.
Yes.
That's bad news for the Cyclones.
I could agree with that. I can't disagree, I guess.
Of course, he
says that we always trash him on the podcast when he's not here. Well, he didn't listen to the seniors last week though, so I think he gets a.
It's time. It's time. To do, he never does. Let's face it.
He told me he listens every week.
Really?
I don't know. Well, should we believe him?
He gets more than.
He did ruin my flip cup team. Even though he tries to say it was my fault.
He gave it a heck of an effort. You guys all did, and you were so gracious in defeat as well.
Oh yes.
And it was such a hard fought.
It was a classic.
You guys
classic.
Had an incredible comeback.
Yeah.
And you just ran out of gas, I think, there at the end. It just wasn't quite enough there to pull it through. But you know, we love Adam. I mean, he'll trash us on the fall cast, obviously, mm-hmm. after we've decided that he's his prediction is bad news for the Cyclones. But I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to have a great game. Now, based on last night,
right?
I mean, they'd get blown out of the fog.
Did you see them play against Texas? Did you see any of that?
I saw some of it, and it later, yeah.
It wasn't even fair.
What, 47-23 at half?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, it was worse in the second half. I mean, it was just they were running all over.
So Texas picked up some points late or something because mm-hmm. I saw it was a little bit tighter in the second half. But I mean, they're firing on. But again, we've talked about hot, cold, and when I asked my, I mean, just the amount of teams that get hot and then become nobodies, mm-hmm. and then they have to build themselves back up again. And the teams that were cold, and he had mentioned Texas Tech as a perfect example, brought themselves up. It's momentum is a very fleeting and ethereal thing this year. It's not exactly a tangible, you know, quality this year. And again, that just makes, you know, from a fan's point of view, when the NCAA tournament looks like that rock fight that Seth Greenberg and it said the Big 12 is, and in one of those ESPN teleconferences, when it's that way for all those teams, it's entertaining beyond belief. So exciting time of year, March 1st, even in this frigid weather after the freezing rain last night.
Right, I'm checking out some new bracketology. Okay, that one hasn't changed, but where would you want to see Iowa State, preferably? What would be like a dream scenario to you?
Des Moines, but they're hosting us.
Well, that doesn't
work,
yeah.
Probably a St. Louis would be pretty ideal.
I've seen now. Well, now USA Today has them playing in Denver.
Yeah, Denver seems a popular destination.
Yeah.
Based on recent bracketology stuff I've seen.
So they'd be the 5 seed there, playing San Diego State, which would be a matchup with that would absolutely terrify me.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of that little pod would be Chattanooga, who the Cyclones have already seen this season.
Yep. Handled quite well.
And John Calipari's Kentucky Wildcats.
Mm. Okay. Vulnerable team. I mean, to look, nobody puts the fear of God into anybody this year. That's what's so entertaining. Now, Michigan State, the way they're going now.
Well, they would be in the same bracket as well. And they've got Oklahoma as the number 1 seed in that bracket.
Wow. And then.
And Duke is the 3. Oh, my goodness. This is like Murderer's Row region. Whew.
I mean, as we talked about, though, it's possible the Spartans haven't lost enough games to truly make a strong Final Four or national championship push. So they might have to perform really poorly in the Big Ten tournament or something to set themselves up for a run.
Denzgazi, too.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I just said? Seton Hall, Notre Dame, USC, Vanderbilt, and Tulsa are all in this region, too.
Some interesting teams that, when they're on.
Right. Seton Hall's on fire.
Yeah, they are. They are. I wouldn't want to face so many other teams.
This might be the worst case scenario for Iowa State at this point.
Yeah. I still think they end up being a 4. you know, unless, you know, expecting a loss at Lawrence, which almost always happens.
Mm-hmm. Tell Wayne
God
Morgan
forbid
that.
They go out. Yeah, I know. God forbid they go out initially, which they almost have done. The Big 12 tournament the last couple of years. A lot of interesting scenarios. Some very impressive, because, I mean, if they can go and win that tournament again, and then, wow, they were to pull off a monumental upset at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, you know, what's their ceiling? I mean, could they get as high as a 2 if they ran through the types of teams they would have to win those games? I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's certainly arguable.
There was okay, first of all, I've got to throw this out there. But speaking of Wayne Morgan, I was going to tell you about this. I was at the Ames Public Library book sale on Sunday, and I was just looking through these books, and I found a 2004-2005 and a 2005-2006 Iowa State men's basketball yearbooks with Wayne Morgan on the cover of one, and I think Jake Sullivan and some other guys.
Were there
on
been
the cover
Stinson
of
and Blaylock in those? Yeah.
Outstanding. I mean, I almost bought them, 50 cents for each one.
See,
those would have been.
You can shell out a buck. I mean, plus you're supporting a cause.
I bought
library, which are taxes support, obviously too.
I bought a Season on a Brink, or Season on the.
It's an excellent story, an excellently written book.
John Feinstein.
Man, Bob Knight. That could be a subject of another podcast.
Yeah, I can't wait for – I'm ready to read it.
Back then, he might have still been called Bobby.
Bobby Knight? Yeah, I think he was. Yeah. And then the other thing that – okay, we were going back to the ceiling. But I was seeing another bracket yesterday that had them playing – I think they were going to Spokane, which is an awful city, by the way. I hope that you guys don't have to go there, or at least Chris doesn't have to go there. But and then – they had Villanova as the 1, Miami as the 2. I'm not sure who the 3 was, but I think Iowa State was the 4. And it was one where I looked at that and I was like, I think I would actually pick Iowa State to go to the Final Four in that.
Yeah. That I remember seeing that bracket as well, and I was like, man, this is favorable to Iowa State. The one thing I might – and I very well could be wrong on this because it's just off of memory and I didn't stare at the bracket for a half an hour. But – I want to say Utah might have been the 5.
Okay, here it is. It's Texas A&M and Chattanooga are in that pod with them. And then Miami, West Virginia, Dayton, Texas Tech, and Wisconsin were the other ones that I pointed out. And then the other one was with Villanova and Miami again. And then Iowa State playing Yale with a possible matchup with Indiana.
Okay.
And then Maryland was the 3, Baylor was the 6, Seton Hall was in there, and VCU.
Yeah, I saw one with Utah, and now that one totally rings a bell, and Utah scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, they've been playing on fire.
And
Bill Walton's done a bunch of their games recently.
I'd love to just string them all together. Play some Grateful Dead music in the background.
Yeah.
Fire up a lava lamp.
I love that you should start wearing tie-dye shirts to all the games.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Walton does. It's not like I put a tie on like Travis Hines and Bobby Legeste, the Ames Tribune, of course, Chris.
Tommy does. I don't know if he ever wears a tie.
He doesn't always do the tie. He's done the tie a couple times. I'm a bit more casual.
Me too.
But I'd absolutely go that route. Maybe have some men's yoga pants
Lord.
To go with it.
Don't even. Don't even put that image in our listeners' heads.
What? They're just like sweatpants, except
thinner. They're tight.
Oh, they don't have to be tight. What are you talking about? It's not like a runner's.
When I hear yoga pants, I think of tight yoga pants, man.
How about Bob Huggins? He was almost wearing those at the our Big 12 media days.
Those were like pajama pants.
Yes, but. The image to me is not whether it's tight or loose. It's the casual comfort.
So, do you just mean like sweatpants?
Yoga pants don't have to be tight, dude. Have you ever done yoga?
No, I've never done yoga.
So you are going to be the authority on what yoga pants
are. I'm not talking about pants that you do yoga in. I'm talking about what is defined as yoga pants. I'm guaranteed that everybody on the forums, when I post this on the forums, when I post this on Twitter, they're going to say, Jared is right. Yoga pants, tight. All the men will agree. Chris will agree. We'll ask him when we go back upstairs.
There probably aren't even really men's yoga pants.
No,
probably
there are
just
not.
Wear shorts or something.
Yes.
But either way, we didn't even touch on the emotion of last night, though, really.
Did you cry?
That much.
Your piece made me tear up. I'll admit, I almost teared up. I didn't cry, though.
There is a certain feeling, because you've been around him, a guy like George, for so long.
Yeah.
You know, the memories wash over you, too. I mean, that memory of being in that locker room where he joked that he was going to ice up his foot after the North Carolina Central game, and you see the look, and Chris and Brent did a marvelous job recounting all this stuff prior to senior night, but the feeling in that locker room, and I was in the position of being on deadline too.
Oh, yeah.
I literally had to call, and the phones weren't working in there, barely, and I'm like, yeah, throw in a line. George Yang broke his foot and won't be able to play against North Carolina. That's all I could do, because it just went through the room. You saw expressions of, oh yeah, George will be good. He'll be fine. You know, they'll tape it up. We'll go, and then you start to see the ashen look on Vic Miller's face, the athletic trainer for the Cyclones, and going from guy to guy, who you've already talked to about, okay, is George, and that's like, wow, George is going to be out, and then the reactions from those guys, just the crestfallen, the crushed feeling. And then they go out and they beat North Carolina with some. Real moxie. It's a good Carolina team that took some gutsy shots and defensive possessions down the stretch.
The only possession of that game I watched, well, that went to overtime, didn't it?
God, I can't remember if it went to overtime or not. I believe it did.
I only watched the very end, like DeAndre Kane's last shot.
Yeah.
I listened to all the rest of it on the radio, and then I only watched like the last couple possessions.
You got the sense that they weren't going to be able to pull it out most of the game, and they made just enough of the plays, enough and none of those, you know, patented, oh my God, the other team made that shot, then things really happened. But I mean, there's so many other things, the funny interviews, the talks, you know, with his family and his former coach at the Tilton School for that feature I did a couple years ago. Just the struggle for him to put himself in a position to just be a high-level basketball player, period.
Right.
Let alone carry that over to the type of stage that the Big 12 is and then Iowa State is, and to be a part of this brick-by-brick project that took it from kind of the afterthought kind of trash heap in the Big 12 back up to this, you know, tower, not at the top, but, you know, right there. You know, you do think about those things. And when you see him tear up and you see that he couldn't prevent it.
Right.
I mean, that's what I asked him when we talked to him even later. Did you tell yourself, I'm not going to cry, I'm not going to try? He said, well, yeah, I tried to, but my body wouldn't let me because – the feeling was so real. Like he said, the real love. And that nothing, he said, nothing there was scripted, and I totally believe it. Because it played out exactly as I would have expected. And I think that's a testament to that bond between the people that fill up that concrete building known as Hilton Coliseum, and that guy with the heart of a champ. You know, you hope he can go out with a different feeling than he's had in big NCAA tournaments in the past.
That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Did you hear that Big George will be put on display somewhere?
That's outstanding.
Wallabies.
If there were a 30-30 for Iowa State Athletics, that
the pursuit
object,
of Big George?
Yes, and the fact that the person who created it has passed away, and there's so much, you know, obviously condolences to his family, but the fact that carries on and it has a significance to people, and it's just of all things, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it goes to show that depth and I don't know, great stories don't always reside in the things that we expect them
right.
to reside in. And George, after the game, all the people that have it now was signing with them, they're taking pictures, and I mean, it's just one of those objects. If you did, there's like this book series, like 100 and some objects that changed the world or something, and then they talk about inventions and all that. There'd be, if there were 50 that describe, you know, the last four plus years of Iowa State athletics, that would be somewhere on that list because of the backstories that go with it.
What else would be on the list?
Well, certain players,
okay.
certain games.
Yeah.
Might be a few other things. Trying to think of some of the shoes, the different shoes.
Yeah.
Kane had a good shoe game. Jameel McKay had a good, you know, had so many things.
Yeah.
Monte Morris, number 11, Flint, mm-hmm. all that stuff.
Oh, the big truck?
Yeah.
The
big truck and what it meant. Yeah.
I want the picture of you and Monte with the truck in the background.
Well, he looks okay
to
in
hit
it anyway.
To hit the net. Dave Sproul, this is a call to you. Put it on the internet.
The only way I could counter the effect of that on people's eyes would to pull up my high school senior photo. I'm looking pretty good. You know, back a century ago.
It'll be a couple weeks before we're able to come back, dude. You and me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll be okay. We'll be in touch, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you'll be – yeah. Yeah, we'll be fine. I'm worried about the listeners.
Yeah. Well, they'll be fine. You should do one with somebody else and then –
I think Chris and I are going to do a podcast next week.
That'll be better than anything we do.
No.
Because it's you two instead of me being involved.
No. Adam told me that this is a cute podcast.
Oh. That's awfully nice of him.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was being sarcastic or not.
Yeah, probably. He's kind of like saying, "Yeah, we've got the juggernaut. We're like ESPN, and you're
we're Fox Sports One."
Yeah, yeah. Kind of struggling, trying to punch above our weight, and you know, just doing what we can, doing what we can to stay afloat.
Yeah, definitely.
As seniors,
I'm excited for Lawrence, dude.
I am too. And man, I'm waffling a little bit. I might check with Chris and see if we want to try to go up a day early.
Yeah, I know you. I know what you want to do a day early. You just want to hit the
organic food store there in Lawrence. I hit it the last time I went there.
No, you didn't. We didn't stop there.
Well, the last time I went there for a game.
Okay. No, we're not doing
Unfortunately,
that.
Unfortunately, I ate too many pizzas and drink too much rum. It just cancels it all out.
Well, hopefully that happens again.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping for. Not a trip to.
No scotch though.
You'll have your Busch Light. I'll have my scotch.
Do they sell Busch Light in Lawrence?
You might have to find Lawrence's best alternative to Busch Light. I've got.
There is no. There is no best alternative. Everything's just an okay alternative.
Next, versus Busch Light versus the leading brand.
Yeah.
Stuff.
All right. You got anything else?
No. I just enjoy doing these with you, and
definitely do.
We'll look forward to that trip and then reconvening here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. For Rob, I'm Jaron. Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for listening.